In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, welcome to Wednesday morning, August 16th, and Word for Life. And my name is Mark Widmer, and joined here with Pastor Ken Keltner. And we are in the middle of chapter 10 of the book of Judges, this book that we've titled Hearts of Stone, Feet of Clay. And we are looking at the continuous plight of Israel in their struggle to think that they can live a life of waywardness and wickedness, and somehow God overlooked that. And but just this cycle that we see time and time again here. Pastor Ken, lead us through this chapter.
A lot of people say, man, why would the book of Judges, it is a depressing book, really, when you look at it. But yet, it is so...
It's predictable.
It's predictable. It's relevant to where we are today. Yeah. I mean, trying to live a life without God just brings disaster. I mean, when he mentioned, we're in chapter 10 right now, but when we look at verse 6, seven false religions are mentioned, and they included some of the most perverted and depraved practices ever known to man. And you just do a study of those religions, and it's just horrific to read. Well, when you rebel against God, you have to face the consequences. So, Mark, why don't you read for us verses 7 through 9? Because Israel, because they made this decision to go after these other gods, they're going to suffer the consequences. Look what happens as they've forsaken the Lord.
The anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the sons of Ammon. They afflicted and crushed the sons of Israel that year. For 18 years they afflicted all the sons of Israel who were beyond the Jordan in Gilead in the land of the Amorites. The sons of Ammon crossed the Jordan to fight against Judah, Benjamin, and the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was greatly distressed.
So you see total oppression. I mean, they're oppressed people. I mean, if you want to say depressed even. Every time Israel worshiped the idols of a nation, that nation was the one that ended up oppressing them. I mean, it's interesting how God just said, okay, I'll just follow right along. And so idolatry leads to this enslavement. You would think that once a nation was oppressing and enslaving Israel, that that would be the one nation that Israel would want nothing to do with. We want nothing to do with you. We want nothing to do with your gods of that nation. But though the Ammonites had oppressed Israel in Judges chapter 3 and verse 13, here Israel is serving their gods, leading them back to enslavement to the Ammonites again. And despite their pain and misery, Israel continued to worship the same idols that let them down and brought them once again into misery and trouble. I mean, you think of it. What foolishness to worship the gods of your defeated enemies. I mean, from our vantage point, Pastor Mark, even in a different era and culture, we're quick to point out the futility of this in Israel. But human hearts haven't changed. They still assure us that when an idol leads to slavery, that what we need is more of that idol. Idolatry and slavery go hand in hand. Idolatry leads to slavery and slavery to idolatry. So basically God is saying to the person who worships money, if you want to live for money instead of me, then money will rule your life. And I mean, a lot of times when somebody loses all the money that they have really sought to hoard into their life, and money's not wrong. The Bible says the love of money is what is the root of all evil. And so when that money that's been loved more than God, what often do you see happen? Those people take their lives. It's like they have nothing to live for anymore. Money can control your heart, and it can control your emotions. If you want to live for popularity instead of God, then men's applause will rule and control you. And it's very short-lived. I mean, just look at the great athletes, you know. I mean, one moment they can be praised and all, and the next moment they're not doing so great, and they get booed out.
Yeah.
If you want to value a relationship more than God, then go ahead and live for the relationship. That relationship will rule you. You know, you're going to be controlled by one relationship after another. I mean, how many times? That marriage didn't work out, so I have another relationship that's going to work, and that doesn't work out, and the relationship's control. And so Israel is sold by God. God's anger is so directed at their idolatry that we read here in the scripture, he sold them. I mean, that's a very strong phrase. It's been used of what God did in Judges chapter 2 and verse 14, in Judges 3 verse 8, Judges chapter 4 verse 2, as well as here. The Hebrew word here for sold, makar, it's a transfer of ownership of what God does to Israel, what they are forbidden to do to one another, back in Leviticus 25. You know, when you sell a car to another person, it means the new owner can do with it as he pleases. When we look back here at how God sold the Israelites before, we know this does not mean that he abandoned them or he nullified his promises to them. But it does mean, however, that he stopped protecting them in some way. He let the things they had been serving actually begin to dominate, and that those things actually to own them. You know, Pastor Mark, Romans 1:23-25 is a fascinating parallel passage where Paul talks about idolatry. He speaks of people who exchange the glory of God for images made to look like mortal men and birds and animals and reptiles. And what was the result? Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts. That word lust is that Greek word epithumia, a word that means an overwhelming drive, an enslaving, uncontrollable desire. To give up means that God allows the things in which we hope in, instead of God, to become the ruling power in our lives. I mean, so once God here gave them over to worshiping idols, they worship and serve created things rather than the Creator. And the judgment for idolatry is idolatry. You know, that passage in Romans, he says you're going to start to worship four-footed beasts.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go, no way will we ever worship some four-footed beast. But friends, you Google and see how much money, just in this last year, Americans have spent on their pets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's in the high billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not saying that you mistreat your pets, but we've come to a point that we do worship four-footed animals.
And if you do mistreat, you're in big trouble.
Exactly. Yeah. So in verses 8 and 9, Israel is crushed by these ungodly nations. They were severely distressed, or they were shattered. That Hebrew there, they were crushed. And it was a lengthy oppression, 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was it was totally universal. It included all of Israel on both sides of the Jordan River.
Mm-hmm.
So then we come to verse 10, and as custom, Israel, they're hurting. Who are they going to turn to? You know, Pastor Mark, my dad used to always tell me, when people lose their health or their money, the first one they turn to is God.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen people that I haven't ever seen in church for years come back, and you find out that they have some possible incurable disease, but you pray and you love them and you minister to them, and then pretty soon they find out that they are healed from that disease, and then you don't see them in church anymore.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about the cycle. The next time they get a doctor's report, boom, they're right back at church.
Yeah.
You know, and so Israel does what we do today. Life's hard. Who do they go to? They go right back to God. Look, why don't you read verse 10 for us?
Then the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord, saying, we have sinned against you, for indeed we have forsaken our God and served the Baals.
You want to know what's so interesting about that verse? Is this is the very first confession of sin we see from Israel in the book of Judges.
Hmm.
And certainly the most extensive response to sin in the entire book. But the question is, was it real? You know, I don't want to hear about you wanting to change. We want to see change, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they had, they were very sincere, but it was not going to be a total reality there with them. It was an initial confession. They confessed their sin of serving Baal. They confessed their sin of forsaking God. But there was incomplete too. Confession is naming. When we read in 1 John 1:9 as believers, if we sin, we can confess our sins, and he's faithful and just. There's the legality of God to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So confession there is in that passage in 1 John, and anytime I confess, it's naming and agreeing with God of my sin, not trying to cover up some sin. Regret is always different than repentance. Regret is a change of behavior, but repentance is a change of heart. Regret is more, sorry, I got caught. And their confession only mentioned Baal. So they weren't complete in their confession. And they're reprimanded in verses 11 through 14. God's reminder of his goodness. He says, so the Lord said to the children of Israel, did I not deliver you from the Egyptians, from the Amorites, from the people of Ammon, and from the Philistines? Also the Sidonians and the Amalekites and the Maonites oppressed you, and you cried out to me, and I delivered you from their hand. You know, he detailed the same song, second verse in Judges 6, 7. The essence of idolatry is enjoying God's gift, but not giving, being grateful to the giver. And Israel was guilty. How soon we forget how good God is to us. And then God again is going to rebuke them of their idolatry. Why don't you read verses 13 and 14 for us?
Yet you have forsaken me and served other gods. Therefore, I will no longer deliver you. Go and cry out to the gods which you've chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your distress. The sons of Israel said to the Lord, we have sinned. Do to us whatever seems good to you, only please deliver us this day. So they put away the foreign gods from among them and served the Lord, and he could bear the misery of Israel no longer.
He says, you've forsaken me. I mean, God saved them time and time and time again. And they've forsaken him, and they've gone after and served these other gods. And so in a crushing line, God tells his people, I will deliver you no more. Wow.
Yeah.
You cry out to the gods you serve. Go ahead and cry out to them. See if they'll help you. Since truth will not reprove you, only thing left is for pain and failure to reprove you. So go to them. All of the attractiveness of this wicked system of these other nations. No. You go to them. And you go to their gods and see if they'll help you out. Incidentally, is it possible for a nation to have the greatest theological and revelatory system that has ever been known to man, that of Israel, with a God who's been 100% flawless, totally perfect, and yet reject him and seek after error that brings great pain? My friends, yes it is, and unfortunately I believe our country's done the same thing. The idea of a triune God who is true and infinitely personal is rejected, even though he gave his son to die and raised him from the dead to save men from their sins. The Bible is the foundation of morality that has done our country nothing but good, and yet we have forsaken him, and we've gone after the gods of our own pleasures and imaginations, so it is very possible for a nation to self-destruct when God is forsaken and self is promoted. And so God says here to Israel, I will not deliver you again. My friends, it is a difficult passage and chapter and text of Scripture, but this is what God has given to us for our learning. Trust that you'll join us for our next broadcast, and we look forward to being with you.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.